Grace and mercy and peace be to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The word which engages us for today is that Holy Gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. And as we begin our sermon, let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, give us grace. Lord, give us grace sufficient for today and for all of our days, because we are the people of God who know what it means to come before you in need of repentance and forgiveness. We know our own brokenness of this world, and Lord, there are so many things we don't even know of. How many times we've offended other people, and it's unknown even to us. How many times we've offended you, and it's unknown even to us. And Lord, grant us grace for that. We thank you that Jesus is indeed our grace, and we have him. Keep us mindful of this and faithful of this as we live out today and our whole lives through. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Labor Day weekend, everyone. It's going to be a great weekend indeed. And our message for today, and really our thought for today, is, I think, very straightforward. It's this. God calls Christians to seasons of activity, and he calls us to seasons of rest. Seasons of activity and seasons of rest, we see this embodied in our own culture, especially on a weekend like today. It's very predominant in the American culture. You need to work. You need to get after things. You need to provide for yourself and other people, and yet we also recognize that there are seasons of rest. The typical work week is either 5 days or 6 days. For heaven's sakes, we have a whole weekend where people are supposed to rest, and we see this embodied also in the Christian culture, don't we? Our Heavenly Father has given us 10 commandments to live by and guide our life. He gave those twice in the history of humanity. He gave them once back on Mount Sinai by a man named Moses, and there he gave us the 10 commandments. And these 10 commandments gave us guidelines and rules for what we do in our lives, but he also gave us one commandment for how we are to rest, and that is the 3rd commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, and God has called us to rest. He told his people to take a holy day off. Your souls need a day off. Quite frankly, isn't it beautiful? Don't you love a God who tells you to take a day off? It's a great thing indeed. He told it to those Israelites, and he told it there at the beginning of creation when he inscribed these commandments on every single human's hearts. We know what it means to rest, and we know what it means to work, and we see this embodied in our story for today. Today in our story, Jesus comes and he starts off by saying a common sense argument. He comes and he says, this is how you should view life. You should view life by this. If you would ever go to a party, Jesus says, and you go out, you don't sit at a seat of honor lest somebody comes and says, go away. It would just be embarrassing. If we retell it in a modern setting, it might look like this. If you are blessed to go to a wedding reception, you do not grab a plate of food, a chair, and a beverage and snuggle in between the bride and the groom. That would be weird on a number of levels. I'm a pastor. I could probably get away with it, but it would still be weird. You don't do that. And Jesus, he begins his argument by saying these things, and he turns and says, but if you are ever fortunate enough to indeed host a banquet, he says this, don't love those people who can love you better. Don't love those people in your seasons of activity solely who are going to benefit you. No, Jesus says this instead. He says, love on those people, work for the people who are poor. The crippled, the lame, the blind, the deaf, and the dumb, those are the people who are the greatest in the kingdom of God. And as we approach our sermon for today, as we really settle in, I think this sermon easily is justified a conversation of work and rest. In our own lives, I ran the numbers. If you start off as a college graduate from the age of 22 all the way up until the age of 65, Just think, how many hours do you think you would work in your life? The average American from the age of 22 to 65, give or take, will work 90,236 hours. Over 90,000 hours of your life are spent at work, and I do think it is justified to have a conversation around that. I'm going to move into some temptations here in just a moment to let you know what I'm doing, about how God's people can fall into some temptations about work, but I want to say this. This is a thought that I don't want you to come away with feeling disparaged, or thoughts as we talk about work feeling, oh, woe is me. Rather, I think the human soul needs encouragement, and that's what I want you to hear. So, granted, bad joke alert. I told you before it's coming. There was once a cowboy who was home on the range where the deer and the antelope played. And one day the cowboy turns to the buffalo and says, "Buffalo, you are ugly. Your breath stank. Your hair is sticking every which way. You got bumps all over your face." And the buffalo turns and says, "I have heard a discouraging word." Oh, some groans from the front. You know it's good when that happens. I'll be here all morning, thank you. So, Ken. Maybe Ken's going to preach the next day. But what I don't want you to hear is a discouraging word, because as we move into this, I think there are at least three temptations that God's people typically deal with when we talk about how to love people, how to work in our lives. And the first temptation is this. God's people say, "Work is my life," and quite bluntly, work is not your life. God is your life. Work is never, ever your life. God has given us spheres of activity to work in our lives, but God is always our life. Jesus certainly thinks this, doesn't he? He says in the Gospel of Matthew, "What does it profit anyone if you gain the entire world and yet lose your soul in the process? What good does it do to you to build up mass amounts of wealth and power and honor, and yet at the end of the day, you'll lose your soul in the process? Work is not your life." Sometimes this goes by an easier, more palpable phrase called the Protestant work ethic. And we are seeing, even in the Christian world, some people who struggle with this. There's always one more person to see, one more person to talk to, and it doesn't become a work-life balance, it's a work-life integration. But work is not our life. That is a temptation from Satan. God is our life. Temptation number two that Christians face: work is hopeless. Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. And too often Christians think their work is hopeless, from CEOs all the way down to volunteer positions. Now, what am I doing in this job that is making a significant difference? And I've said this before in other places, but the common phrase I hear from people is this: I work way too hard for way too little money for people that don't deserve my respect, and these employees, they turn into bad attitudes, and they don't have productive attitudes in the workplace. And when Christians look at temptation number two, that our work is hopeless, it is a bad thing. Work is never hopeless. It is given to us by God. And third, our third temptation for today is work is meaningless. We talked about that a number of weeks ago, didn't we? In the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, the writer says, "Meaningless, meaningless, vanity, vanity, pointless, pointless is all of human existence." And Christians are tempted to say this, but work is honored by God and is a good thing. He has given us work. And I know there are crummy situations that you live in, crummy situations that you deal with at work, but our work is created and honored by God, and God could have chosen anybody to do your job, to be that spouse, to be that father or mother or friend, but he didn't. He chose you for a very specific reason. You know, in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, that word for meaningless, pointless, it's called hevel. H-E-V-E-L, hevel. It's used 23 times in the Old Testament about the meaninglessness of life. Hevel. I don't want to share in that joy just for myself. Can you share in that joy with me? It's such a fun word. Say hevel. Hevel. Learn some Hebrew. Hevel. And that's our third temptation that people want to say. Work is meaningless, but it's not. God has created it and ordered it for our good. And as we approach our today on this happy Labor Day, we recognize that God has given us seasons of activity and rest seasons of work and fun, seasons of recreation and intensity. And Jesus comes and he reminds us that work is not our life, that work is not a hassle, that work is not meaningless. Rather, it is ordained and created by God himself, because Jesus reminds us specifically in our lesson for today where we should point our efforts towards the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, because Jesus comes into this world and he hangs out with people, he works with people, he aligns himself with people who don't deserve it. The prostitutes and the sinners and the tax collectors. He shows up in the temple and he preaches and he teaches and he shows them love, and he invites us to come and do the same, because Jesus, in our story for today, he rightly so can take every place of honor at every single banquet. Jesus is always the main attraction when we think of him, but did Jesus do that when he came into our world? No. He comes and he humbles himself and he takes the place of a servant. Jesus does not come to be served, but he comes to serve and to give his life up as a ransom for many. On this Labor Day weekend, I want to encourage you with that. A Jesus who comes and he loves us, even though we are the people of God who need grace, who need his forgiveness because of the things we do and the things we're not even aware of. Jesus comes and he serves us and he loves us and he invites us to do the same. Not to see our love towards the poor, the crippled, the lame as a burden that's a temptation from the devil, but rather an honored gift from our Heavenly Father. This is our simple message I wanted to leave with you today. Our simple message of hope and grace. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message, where we are reminded that Jesus is indeed that person who can always take the place of honor at a banquet, but he doesn't. He serves as the busboy in the back, and he does it on our behalf. Thank you that Jesus comes into this world and forgives us of our sins. He calls and he claims us, and he has chosen us as his own, and because of that, we are called into this world of work and rest to align to God's holy will. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given to these people in this room. Lord, I know some of them are struggling with thoughts of, why me? You could have given this to somebody else. But Lord, according to your holy will and purpose, you gave it to us. So thank you. Keep us mindful that everything we have is a gift from you. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.